All right, so I'm going to kind of MC the testimonies this morning, and I've been praying about it. I'm excited to do it, and let me pray one more time just to invite the Holy Spirit again to be with those that are sharing and the rest of us, and as he meets us. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this place to worship. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for everyone watching by video. You're so good to us, Lord. We just want to testify to you today. And we want that testimony to refresh hearts. Our hearts can get dry and struggle, and the cares of this world and the struggles of life can just take it all out of us. And we just pray that you would speak to us through the people that are sharing testimony this morning and refresh our hearts from this year that's passed and coming into the year ahead. So just please come. We need your Holy Spirit to speak through all our words so that this powerful, miraculous work of refreshing hearts will happen today. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so as I was decided to MC the testimony Sunday, I started to think about testimony and where it fits in the scriptures and in the word of God and in our lives as Christians. And I really think I found a little kind of tucked away book of the Bible that is all about a testimony. So it's the book of Philemon. So if you have your Bible, let's open to Philemon. If you know where it is, then I'm impressed. If not, it's right before Hebrews. Oh, Lord. Whew. Philemon, one chapter. So again, I think verses 4 through 7 are all about us sharing our faith and all about Paul thanking God for the saints who have the faith that they have and who do share that faith, and how that faith and that sharing of their faith refreshes the saints and brings joy and encouragement to Paul. And that is what I'm praying, and I know that the rest of us are praying would happen this morning, that we would be refreshed. And what I thought about and came to understand is that that work of that the end of verse 7 says, refreshing, that the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, that's serious work. You know, this is not a normal Sunday. It's kind of like something we start the year with, but it's a very important Sunday. And what Paul is saying is, as we share our faith with one another, we refresh hearts. And Proverbs says that above all things, we're to guard our hearts, because out of our hearts comes the wellspring of life. And it is years like 2020 and 10 years without having a desire of your heart to have a child and all the other things that have happened this year and all things that God only knows are going on in each of our hearts today that need refreshed. And that's what this service is about. That's what testifying is about. Verse 6 says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. What I think that's saying is that the person testifying is blessed, that it becomes effective. When we share it, we grow in that experience. And I'm sure the four people who've prepared and taken their time and processed through the past year and their experience could testify already that God, it's a challenging but powerful experience to think through and prepare something to testify to that God has done in your life. How you were struggling or felt hopeless and honestly admit the pain that was there, but then to see that God met it. It's an effective tool for us to grow in the full knowledge of the good things we have. So it's for us. But 7 says, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brothers, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So not only is it a blessing for me, it's a blessing for all of us to hear from you. The words in the book connected with a life and an experience that says this is a word and it's true and I believe it's God's word, but I also can testify that in my life I've experienced the walking out of this truth that is in the book. And it's a powerful tool to refresh our hearts. And real quick, the third thing about testimony is that it changes the world. And here's an assignment for you at some point today or this week is to read this book. It takes 5 minutes, but there's so much richness here. And honestly, you could say, if you get into the understanding of this book, that this book, this testimony of this guy, Onesimus and Philemon that Paul's talking about has changed the world. So the testimony not only was a blessing to them, it not only refreshed Paul's and the saints' hearts, it changed the world. Because Onesimus was not an equal by any means with Philemon. He was a slave. And reading between the lines of the story, you get a sense that he ran away from his master. He might have stolen or done something he shouldn't have done. And Paul goes through this story of encouraging Philemon, the Christian, to receive back Onesimus, no matter what he did, not because he's an equal, because he's not, but because they're equals before God. And this testimony of this story led down the road to equality and to seeing all men as created equal and changed the slavery issue and racial issues and other class issues. This book speaks to so much of what Jesus did. It's a testimony to the who we are all in Christ. So if you get a chance, take a further look at it. And the last thing, before we bring the individuals up to testify, I really do believe this refreshing of our hearts for today is for everyone here. Because we all have areas in which our hearts can be refreshed. So we're going to have 4 people share, but at the end, if we have some time, I'm going to open it up and ask a few of you to just raise your hand and give a word of something you're thankful for or a testimony of quickly a sentence or two of something God's done for you, because it'll refresh you, it'll refresh us, and who knows, it might change the world as well. So take 2 minutes. I want to, before I call April up to share, I want to just take 2 minutes to reflect, to ask God what testimony he might have for you to be refreshed and to refresh with. All right, hold on to that. Share it with somebody, even if you don't share it this morning. So now I'd like to invite April, there she is, up to share what God's done in her life this year. She's at mic.
Good morning. So for most people, a new year brings a fresh start and a new hope. That is not how I walked into 2020. I walked into 2020 in the depths of a depression that combined with an unexpected increase in workload and responsibility almost swallowed me whole. While for many the stay-at-home orders caused mental health issues, it was actually the breath of fresh air that I needed. Yeah, school was hard, but with almost all the other outside pressures stripped away, I fell into a great little groove at home with my little family. Once again, God had heard my cry and met my needs, even if it was in an unexpected way, such as a pandemic. When talk began of moving from red to yellow, I felt my anxieties increasing again, and not wanting to move backward in my mental health, I gained the courage to reach out for counseling. I quickly realized that this would be a tough process as I had things that I had to work through. But by the grace of God, I was able to work through those things and find some sources of my depression and verbalize or bring to light things that I'd never been able to do before. I was taking care of myself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and entered the summer feeling better than I had in years. Then came back to school time, and we made the decision to keep our kids home and do Digital Academy. It was, honestly still is, a disaster. Trying to grow my real estate business with a goal to double and triple in 2021, take care of my home, a one-year-old, and two kids in Digital Academy, one of which needed my full attention, completely overwhelmed me. I was entering into yet another round of depression. One thing was different, though. Because of the work God had done earlier in the year through me, I was actually communicating my feelings to my husband, something that I had never willingly done in 11 years of marriage. I cried with him, shared my concerns and my desires, and we prayed together. I was feeling a strong call to be home with my kids, but financially, there was no way. We needed my income. And so I prayed for God's guidance, and if I was to stay home, make a way, and if I wasn't, to give me peace and contentment where I was. Then, one morning, I got a call from Ryan. He had gotten a well-deserved promotion, a promotion that no longer required my income. We came up with a plan. I gave 2 weeks' notice for my hourly position, and I made goals for my real estate business that made sense for my family while allowing me to still have a sense of self as a woman and bring in a small income. I could breathe. The weight that had been lifted off of my shoulders was huge. My mental space was free from worry and anxiety, and I was able to function in ways that I had never had before. It was amazing. But there was still something that was crushing me, outweighing all of the good and had, and still has, me feeling like a failure. Digital school. God had fulfilled my desires to be home with my kids, but I was still failing to help my six-year-old with school. Every day, welcomes, yelling, fighting, and tears. Failure as a mom cripples me. So when I was asked to share today, I quickly said no. How could I share and give a testimony that all God had done in my life when I was in such a bad place? And from the moment I said no, God was stirring in my heart, reminding me of all of the good that he had done just this past year. And even though I may not be in a great place right now, I need to cling to and remember the good that he has done, and he will do good again. And I suspect that there are many in 2021 that are feeling helpless and or entering 2021 feeling helpless and in a place of depression. And so I just want to encourage you to cling to God and remember the good that he has done in the past and cling to the promise that he will do good again. God reminded me this past week of Lamentations 3:17-24, which were verses that I was encouraged to read on one of my darkest days. And so I just want to end my time reading those verses now, hoping they can encourage you as well. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwall and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Thank you.
I think when Paul said it brought him joy and encouragement, he wanted to give a high five when they shared. That was awesome. Thank you so much, April. Susan, your turn. I've been in a life group this past year with Susan. It's been a joy to get to know her.
Well, hello, everyone. I can relate to April, where when I was asked to speak, my first reaction was, no, I can't do this. But then after further thought, I said, you know what? I have to testify of the faithfulness of God and his peace that has filled my life as I've walked through some very hard times. So here we go. It was an ordinary day, started with our typical coffee and devotions. Then we discussed our plans for the day. My husband was going to head to Home Depot, and I was going to head down to Maryland to grocery shop for our parents who couldn't go out due to COVID. We communicated through the day, and all was well. While I was traveling home from Costco, I was detoured due to an accident. My immediate response was, this is so annoying. Now I have to go up to the next exit. All I want to do is get on with my day, go home to spend some quality time with my husband, who would be leaving in 3 days to work out of town for 5 weeks. Then the thought crossed my mind that someone was having an ordinary day just like me, and suddenly their life was ended or seriously maimed due to a random accident. Their family's lives will be forever changed, so who am I to complain about a little inconvenience? After delivering the groceries and visiting with our parents, I headed home. While driving home, my daughter, who has been an amazing help to me, she called me. We were doing our normal talking while she drove home from work, catching up on our day. When I was about 5 minutes away from my home, I came upon another detour. I told her about my earlier detour in the day and how God impressed on my heart that someone's life and family could have been changed forever, and I was annoyed by a little inconvenience of my time. How selfish of that. I said, what are the chances that I would be detoured 2 times in 1 day? So we reflected on how we never know what's in our future and how we must trust God and love people well because we don't know if we will ever even see them again. She told me she was going to go on a bike ride with her husband, Ben, when she got home from work. So we said our goodbyes, and I was looking forward to joining my husband again to see his progress on his woodworking project. Just another ordinary day for both of us. Little did I know that God was preparing me for what I would face 5 minutes after this conversation with my daughter. When I drove around the bend on my road, I saw an ambulance at my driveway. I immediately thought, oh dear, he's injured himself while doing some woodworking today. I never dreamed I would hear the words, I'm sorry, ma'am, but your husband had a heart attack and passed away. I cannot express to you the deep sorrow that racks your soul when you hear these words. On March 27, 2020, my life was forever changed. My husband of 31 years left this world for his eternal home in heaven. Through the 2 detours that I experienced that day, I believe the Holy Spirit was preparing me for what lay ahead. Little did I know that that's what was happening. I had friends who had lost their spouse, and I was deeply sorry for their loss. But until you experience it for yourself, you cannot understand. When God designed marriage, he takes 2 people, joins them as one. The best visual that I can come up with is conjoined twins, and I know this is a very sad visual of what the supernatural thing that God does in marriage, but if you could just imagine conjoined twins that are just torn apart, not by surgery, but by just pulling them apart, that is what it feels like when you lose your best friend and your mate. I had a wound so vast I didn't think it would ever heal. I felt alone, lost, and numb, to say the least. It's an understatement to say that my life was detoured. A few days after he passed away, I was reading my devotional and read Psalms 32:8. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Sure did not feel like this was the best pathway for my life, but I was reminded that he is God and I am not. This scripture came up several times in the next few weeks, and I was reminded that God knows my situation. He will help me and watch over me. I imagine the God who created the heavens and earth will watch over me. This was something I already knew, but when you are married and have a spouse who watches over you, protects you, etc., your husband gives you a sense of peace and calm and security. And when that's taken away, there's such a vulnerableness that you feel. But the first time I attended this church, Tim spoke on the Good Shepherd. And I can't tell you how appropriate that was for me, because I felt lost and I needed a Good Shepherd to protect me and guide me. And I will never forget how strongly that spoke to my soul. After my husband died, I went to live with my daughter and son-in-law for 2 weeks. Then I felt that I really needed to go back to my home. I was concerned that I may feel like I didn't want to live in our home that we shared so many memories in, not to mention the fact that he actually died in my house, and I would have to walk by that spot every single time I entered my home. When I walked into the house for the first time, it felt normal and good to be back in my home. I was in my great room. I looked at my kitchen. My kids were standing there, and I actually had a peace, which was very, very strange. When I walked past the spot in the house where he lay the last time I saw him, I had to face it because I didn't want it to haunt me every time I walked in. At that moment of pausing and looking down, I felt the Holy Spirit speak so loudly to my soul that I wondered if my kids heard it. And what he said to me was, "Don't fear this spot, for it is holy ground. This is where I took your husband to heaven to be with him, to be with the Lord, where my husband always longed to be. He was a strong believer." And with that, it gave me such hope. I miss him beyond anything you could imagine, but I know with confidence, not a doubt in my mind, that he is with the Lord. This peace and these words that spoke so deeply to my inner being could have only come from God. It wasn't anything that I conjured up or built up the strength in myself to deal with it. It was truly a gift from God. This has been an off-road detour that I didn't want to be on. I never dreamed I would be in this situation at this stage of my life. It may seem strange to some, but worship has been a huge part of my healing. When I worship God, my focus is not on what I lost or how much I want my old life back, even though I would never want my husband to leave heaven to come back to this messed up COVID world. I knew that my only hope was in my Savior. God spoke to me again and said, who do we have in heaven? Who do we have but God? Everything else can be taken away. Our husbands, our house, our jobs, our possessions. Truly, when we look at life in that perspective, that all we have is God, that gives us the strength to just know that that is something that we can rely on no matter what. Again, in my devotional, 3 days before my husband passed, the devotional started with this. This is a time in your life when you must learn to let go. Let go of loved ones, of possessions, and of control. This is something that no one wants to hear. And when I heard it, I said to my husband, "Wow, I hope this doesn't pertain to us." Little did I know that this was another way that the Holy Spirit was preparing my heart for what lay ahead. I can't express to you the importance that worship has had in my healing. Like I said, it filled my heart with peace. Through this process, it has been unbelievably difficult for me, and it's because of the Lord and family and my friends who have loved me through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I choose to count my blessings. I choose to focus on the amazing husband that God provided for me for 31 years, for all the wisdom he gave me, and focus on that and knowing that I will one day see him again. Even though it is difficult to accept this new life, I will stand on Psalms 32:8. I will guide you along the best pathway for my life, and I will guide you and watch over you. This has been a devastating part of my journey of my life, but I am confident that it is the peace that passes all understanding that has gotten me through this. God is with me and still has a beautiful plan for my life. No matter what you are walking through, God is the only thing that is eternal. So run to him. He is the only hope of the world.
Okay. No matter how deep our need, God is able to refresh our hearts. That's incredibly encouraging. Thank you. All right. Carrie and Miles. There they are. I don't know them as well, but I read what Carrie and Miles had written. They sent it to me to look over, and I'm excited to hear how God's working in their lives day to day, and it's a blessing to have them share their testimony.
Morning. My name is Miles. This is my wife, Carrie, and I'd like to share briefly how God and the gospel has been at work in my life during my experience with COVID. Back in March, when the virus started showing up where we lived and where I worked, I began to preach to my heart that the coronavirus is in God's hands and cannot harm me or my family beyond God's sovereign will. My hope is not in safety and comfort. Well, 9 months later, on December 7th, my wife, Carrie, contracted the disease, which meant my entire household would have to quarantine for 10 days. A day later, I started showing symptoms of the virus and was down and out for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of not being able to work. 3 weeks of fighting flu-like symptoms and a cough that eventually took away my voice, which, praise the Lord, is coming back. The coronavirus aggravated, though, my chronic bronchitis, which made breathing for me very difficult. I even shamefully began to fear taking a shower because of the way it affected my breathing. But through all of this, God was faithful and he was gracious to not allow me to lose hope. When I was tempted to fear or to anger, he gave me grace to rest in his promise in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, which says this. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, because I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am able to rest in the fact that Jesus created me and redeemed me. He has personally called me to himself, and I belong to him. The coronavirus is not outside of my Savior's control or love for me. Even when I'm fearful to shower, I can rest in the fact that he is with me and that I will not be overwhelmed. The coronavirus truly is in God's hands and cannot harm me or my family beyond God's sovereign will. And because Jesus Christ lived and died for me, my hope is not in my safety or my comfort. He will continue to care for and sustain his people for whom he shed his blood for, so that whether we are healthy or whether we are not, we might be to the praise of his glory and his grace. Thank you.
If I look down at my paper, it's not because I don't want to look at you. It's just, it's harder for me to do this because I'm not used to doing this. One thing that God has taught me is that he does extraordinary things in the lives of ordinary people. You may not know me because I'm ordinary. I'm an ordinary housewife and an ordinary mom who's from an ordinary town. But I want to tell you what extraordinary things that God has done for me and continues to do for me, and is going to do for me in my little ordinary life. John Piper said, "Let us trust him to do the humanly impossible for us and walk fearlessly in all his commandments." Last week, Pastor Tim asked me if I would give a testimony, and I agreed. I used to never like testimonies because I would sit there and listen to people come up here and say this amazing story of their life. And I would think, nothing like that ever happens to me. Sorry. Okay, so I lost my spot, so I'm going to go back to that paragraph. Sorry. Last week, Pastor Tim asked me if I could, if I would give a testimony, and I agreed. I used to never like testimonies because I would sit there and listen to people come up here and say this amazing story of their life. And I would think, nothing like that ever happens to me. But God has shown me that this is not true, that everyone who has an encounter with the living God has a testimony. And this Christmas, I decided to read through the book of Luke as an Advent devotional. Right off the bat, I saw two wonderful testimonies from two totally different people. The first was Zechariah, who was a high priest, who was righteous before God, who was just doing his job when an angel came to him. Zechariah was afraid when he saw Gabriel, but Gabriel told him, "Do not be afraid. God has heard your prayer, and it is amazed, and he is answering it." That prayer was that his wife, who was barren, would bear a son, and they are to name him John. Zechariah asked Gabriel for more evidence. He was unsure how this could happen. He rejected the humanly impossible. He doubted that God could make his wife, who was barren and past the years of childbearing, pregnant. In doing so, he was temporarily unable to speak until he named his son John. Then I read of another testimony of an ordinary girl from an ordinary town who was just living an ordinary life and unknown to the world. The same angel who stands in the presence of God visits her, and she too has found favor with God, and she too was afraid when she saw Gabriel. She too was given news that seemed humanly impossible, but this news would change everything, including my life and yours. What is this news? Gabriel told her that even though she was a virgin, she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that this child is to be named Jesus, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Everything that was hoped for in the Old Testament is fulfilled in this news. Now that is a testimony. But Mary, like Zechariah, questions the news, but she does not doubt the impossible. Instead, she asks for understanding. She does not get a clear-cut answer. But Gabriel instead tells her about Elizabeth, giving Mary confirmation that with God, all things are possible. Here were two ordinary people who had extraordinary experiences. But Mary and Zechariah were just instruments in God's glorious plan of salvation. And I, too, am an instrument in God's plan. Today, that plan is for me to speak and give you what God has been doing in my life. And I struggled because I thought I should have some extravagant story to tell, and I didn't. But through this Christmas story, God revealed to me that I do. You see, God, in his sovereignty, his wisdom and love, gave me, this book, which I have read, where I read that passage. This book that tells me there is all there is to know. This is the book that he met me when I was lost, and he showed me the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. This book is where he teaches me how to deal with my trials and the purpose for them, and how everything that happens to me is worked out for my good and his glory. This book is where he revealed himself to me. He knew I would face serious marital problems. He knew that I would struggle with sin of all kinds. He knew my family would get COVID this year. It's where he told me that I am more than a conqueror through him who strengthens me. He tells me that in this world that I would have troubles, but to take heart because he has overcome the world. He tells me that I would fight evil, but that he who lives in me is greater than he that is in the world. He tells me that I would be tempted, but that he is faithful, and he will not let me be tempted beyond my ability, and that he will provide a way of escape so that I should endure it. He tells me when I am scared that he is for me, and if he is for me, then who can be against me? He tells me, fear not, for I am with you, and I will help you, and I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. And when I was tired and I felt like I could not handle my circumstance, he told me that his grace was sufficient for me, and that his power was made perfect in weakness, in my weakness. When I have to make choices and I don't know what to do, he tells me that he will instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go, and that he will counsel me with his eye upon me. When I feel like I'm not good enough, or when I question my salvation, he tells me that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion, and that he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to him. When I do not know how to pray, he tells me that the Holy Spirit will pray on my behalf. When I am suffering and I doubt him, he reminds me that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put me to shame because God's love has been poured out in my heart. Some may say that God's word does not answer all these questions, but I would say he gives me all I need to trust him. Mary was not given a straight-cut answer either, but a confirmation of who God is and that he is able to do the humanly impossible. And he does the same for me every time I open this book. God meets ordinary me and does extraordinary things through all my ordinary trials
and all my ordinary sins and sufferings. By giving me a peace that surpasses all understanding and washing away my fear through his perfect love, the word of God is my testimony. It's truly a light unto my feet and a light unto my path that he paves for me and walks with me each step of the way. It is how God speaks to me, and it is how my relationship with him is growing stronger day by day, all through the ordinary. He looked at ordinary Carrie, an ordinary housewife, who's an ordinary mom, who's from an ordinary town, and said, I chose her, and I will reveal myself to her when the time is right, and she will be mine, and no one can snatch her out of my hands, and nothing will ever be able to separate me or separate my love for her, and I will tell her these things as she grows, and she will learn more about me and all the things I've done for her. I will give her trials of various kinds, so she will learn steadfastness to lead to her completeness, where she knows that she will lack nothing because she has fellowship with me. And that, my friends, is extraordinary and humanly impossible, that I would have fellowship with the Most High God through my Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Wonderful. Gosh, the bringing of God's word to life through people and their experiences. That was so full of scripture, and thankful for their sharing. We have a few more minutes, and I'd love to hear from a few of you. I think we'll just raise hands, and if you have a word of or two, something, a few sentences of something you're thankful for that God is, that you want to testify of God. I believe there's more hearts to be refreshed today, and it's certainly already happened, and God can continue to do it. I'll start it off real quick that I probably had about 7 or 8 weeks that I couldn't work this past year. I own my own business, and I have for many years, and it's always been a challenge. Just taking a week off for vacation was tough because I don't get paid when I don't work. But this year I missed way more than usual, and I can certainly testify that God was faithful, not only to provide for us, but to give me peace so I wasn't freaking out about it. And actually, my wife and I had a really wonderful time the first 5 or 6 weeks in April and May, and able to connect in a deep way when I wasn't making any money. But God was absolutely faithful. So, yeah, raise your hand if you have a few more people that would like to share a testimony of how God's worked. We joke in leadership meetings, when you're down or you need help or something, just ask Randy. He'll take care of you. So Randy has got me.
Thank you. So let's see. January, at the end of January, we were coming home up I-83, and there was snow and ice falling. And in Maryland, they treat their roads a lot better than Pennsylvania. Everybody know that? Yeah. So you're kind of led into a false sense of security coming up the road, and then you hit the Maryland line, the PA line. And the snow kind of, you start seeing more of it on the road, more slush. And, you know, the rest stop right here, about a mile over the border, I'm passing some slow people. I'm going faster than I should be in the bad weather. And I just, the front left tire just hit a little slush spot. And I got the whole van filled with all my family. And it was so fast. You just, your tail end swerves a little bit. And, you know, in my mind, I think, oh, I got this. You know, this is, I'll just overcompensate and we'll be good. And like a quarter second later, my brain says, you're not going to be good. This is going to be bad. And you got your whole life in this minivan. And we're now sliding sideways across 83 at 65 miles an hour. And you're heading for the side of the embankment. And 83 has hills and valleys and hills and valleys. And there's valleys where when you go off, you're going to go down and off, and it's going to be bad. So anyway, I'm thinking all these thoughts in the matter of 2 seconds, and my wife reacts first, like normal, and screams, Jesus, help, at the as loud as she can scream, and she can scream loud. And I took up her cue and said something like that too, right as we hit this embankment, and we flipped over on 83 and slid to a stop, and all traffic slows down and everybody gets out and we're upside down, and everybody's screaming, and I'm praying, okay, God, okay, everybody quiet. We got to call out names, Dan, are you okay, Joe? Hey, is everybody okay? Everybody's, yes, yes, yes. And I couldn't even get out because I was upside down and I couldn't get my belt out. And it's freezing cold and the wind and the windows are busted. And it was just a really freaky moment to start out our 2020. And I had a bump on my head. And Dan had a little finger prick with glass, and that was it. Everybody was safe. And God, in that moment, he heard our cry, and he I don't know if it was Gabriel or someone grabbed that van and just set it down, and it was totaled, of course, but we all crawled out through the windows soaking wet, and people stopped and helped, and it was kind of amazing. That was, of course, there was a lot more 2020. A week later, when my father died, and I'm thinking, this is the worst week of my life. That was hard. And then it wasn't long after that, we found out we were pregnant with another baby. And here he is. And his middle name is my father's middle name. And God has been good. He's been good through some ups and downs this past year. And I think that's what I just want to share.
Anyone else?
Good morning, church. My name's Ed. We just got introduced last week, and my wife couldn't have been here. She sends her regards. It's always encouraging to hear these testimonies. For us, we've just transitioned from a church out of Lancaster, PA. Last year, my wife and I went away for our 10-year anniversary to Arizona. We just wanted some hot weather and just wanted to get away from all the chaos for a bit, right? And while we were over there, we were just really seeking out the Lord, because probably for 3 years before that, we were already sensing a transition was coming, a change was coming, a moving. But we didn't necessarily have clear directions. It wasn't definitive. And I'm a planner. I like to kind of know where we're going if we're going, right? And so while we were out there, we were, in prayer, but still couldn't really, get the clarity we needed. And I remember we went to visit a church while we were away, and we heard this analogy that really helped us out a lot. He says, your car is built with high beams to help you see at least a mile down the road, But the Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, You won't be able to see that far down the line. You'll just be able to see a few steps at a time. And so we began to pray about, Lord, fine, give us the next step. Don't Forget the whole mile down. We would love to know all that, but just show us the next step. And through a series of small steps, the Lord, in a very healthy way, led us through great conversations with our church, great connections with some of the guys from the Acts 29 Church Planting Network. And that's how I actually got to know Tim, you know. And through that, for the last, 4 or 5 months already, we've been in a lot of conversations. And it's amazing to us how smooth and how great the transition's been, going from one church to another, and also just seeing how God has been working in all of it, you know? We've truly been encouraged, and I guess that's the thing, 2021, you know, I mean, 2020 was like, you know, you heard the cliche, it's the year of vision, and you'll be able to see 2020, and, you know, all this stuff, and then chaos came, and you couldn't see nothing. I was like, what is happening right now? But that word was encouraging in knowing that, hey, the small steps of obedience, you know, can really lead into some beautiful things. And so we're grateful. And in 2021, we're still looking for those small steps. And so God's been good, and we're just happy to be here. So thank you.
We're glad to have you, Ed. We really are looking forward to working with you. All right. So please continue to process this, that your heart is refreshed and that you can refresh others when you testify to what God's done. Tim has mentioned to me, and I think the elders would all agree, that this doesn't have to be a once a year thing. So if you have something God's working out in your life and you want to experience that refreshing, or you want to refresh others, come see one of us and let us know. We'd love to have you share a testimony at any time of the year. So please do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Somebody say amen if you're refreshed. Who feels refreshed and encouraged this morning? Yes, praise God. So good to hear from the Lord's people. As the worship team comes up, I just want to encourage you and remind you of all that the Lord has said to us this morning. You know, as Chris said, I think hearing from one another, hearing the Word of God proclaimed through you guys, in what the Lord has done in your life, certainly is refreshing. Continue to do that in your homes, in your families, in your workplaces, with one another. You know, you may feel like 2020 was that van flipped over on the side of 83 and you're hanging there upside down, scared for your family, scared for your life. But the Lord has guided us, has He not? And He will continue to guide us in the season ahead. So thankful for April just being open and honest with us about her struggle and her depression. She identified with Lamentations 3, where the scriptures say that our endurance has perished, and you may feel like your endurance and your strength has just run out. But the Lord gave April a breath of fresh air, and my prayer and my hope is that He gives you a breath of fresh air as you hear again from Lamentations 3 that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So rest in that. Susan, so thankful for your willingness to share with us your grief and your hardship. You, as you said, it's an understatement to describe your loss as a detour. And yet that's such a powerful image, friends and family, as you think about the detours that you've experienced or the detours that you might face in the year ahead. Be reminded of Psalm 32:8. The Lord will guide you in the way you should go. He is a good shepherd. He's a lamp into our feet. And so in the midst of your detours, no matter how small and inconvenient, no matter if it's the biggest loss that you can experience on earth, the Lord will guide you. Rest in Him. Trust in Him, the Good Shepherd. Miles and Carrie, thank you guys for sharing your struggle with COVID. Miles reminded us that God's sovereign will is over the smallest molecules of a virus. His sovereign will is over your workplace, your family life. Isaiah 43 says, the Lord says, you're mine. You belong to the Lord in Christ. He's not going to let you go. When you pass through the waters, He will be with you. And so, no matter how ordinary you may feel, God can do extraordinary things. There's a purpose for your trial. We can conquer. God's grace is sufficient. And so rest in the Word of God. Why don't we stand together and worship again? Listen to Psalm 105. As we prepare to worship In a moment, we're going to celebrate together the Lord's Supper, and we're going to partake of the body and the blood as we go out to face the week, the season, the year. Psalm 105:3 calls us to glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let's seek the Lord and be a people that rejoice. Verse 4 says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Let's seek the Lord this morning in this moment, and let's turn our hearts to seek Him for the season ahead. Amen.